Very good. Next. Three. You just said that. Excellent. Very good. I want to give you a few things just to think about. When you're doing something like this, think, this is how I think, all right? And I think it's a clever way of thinking. No, no, serious. I have to minister everywhere, and I have to, at the drop of the hat, answer questions on very difficult subjects. So I think like this. Let me help you. I think, where are the scripture? Where, what areas? What books? All right? So start to think. Come, I need some help here. What scriptures, what book or books talk the most about the finished work of Christ? Anybody give me something? Sir? Romans. Romans? What else? John. Absolutely right. Next. Try the Old Testament. Hebrews is right. Yes. What Isaiah? Exactly. You see, you guys actually know it. So what you do is you go to Isaiah 53, work through it. There's a lot. The whole book, the whole chapter is on the finished work of Christ. Psalm 22 speaks of the finished work of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. These are really critical scriptures that speak about what Christ did. 1 John is, you brought up 1 John. All these, John specifically is a writer who goes at the heart of what Jesus is and does. Just remember that. So when we get to the second question, which was the baptism in water, I'd like three scriptures quickly, please. Somebody different. I need you to stand up quickly and give me the scriptures. Thank you, Sue. Very good. Thank you so much. Maria, a question. Have we got some form of pad to get everybody's email down on somewhere along the line? Or what would be the best method? I'll tell you why. What I'd like to do is I'd like to give you the answers. Do you understand? But I don't want to email each one of you. I just want to put it somewhere where you can get it. So if we got your emails, I can just get it out to you. She'll thank you, ma'am. She's got, you got a pad, sis? Maria's ready. That's great. Would you just pass it? And please do me a favor. I need your name and email. Yes, sir. What website? Harvest Time. I would prefer, if you, thanks, that's a good idea. I'd prefer this method because we can let you know when the next Father's House is coming. Because this is only step one. Okay, the next time I want to give folk an opportunity to go into the next phase and the next phase and come into a place where eventually you're able to do all the things you want to do as a leader. Okay. Thank you, Maria. So, thank you, Sue. Good one. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I need someone to give me three scriptures on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, ma'am. It's Acts 2:17. Okay. That's good. Thank you. Let me just, I want to help you on this. I asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the last one. And the previous one is an explanation by Peter telling us what happened on the day of Pentecost. So we would need, so your Acts 1:8 is absolutely perfect. No problem. But the others do not point to the need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Who can give me two other scriptures? The need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Brian. That's it. That's absolutely right. Next. That was Acts 2:38. Next. I need one more. Yes. That was Luke 3:16. Very good. Okay. Then we spoke about the next one, which was dealing with temptation. Or sin. Give me three scriptures that'll help me do that. Who's going to do that? Yes, ma'am. Please stand up so we can hear. That's perfect. What that is what Christ did for sin, which is a fair enough angle. I don't mind. But I want to know something that tells me, like your first one, says flee immorality. So that gives me an action. So I would like to know an action as to how... Aha. Yeah. Yes, yes. Cleanse us from all sin. Very good. That's what I was looking for. Perfect. Absolutely right. And of course, a very important one is 1 Corinthians 10:12, I think it is. That says, no temptation has overtaken us such as common to all men. You know that one. All right. I would have loved to also know how many of you used Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17 to put off the old man and put on the new man. Yeah? That's a, yes, ma'am. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5. Okay. That's very good. But I would classify that as pertaining to spiritual warfare, because it starts off saying the weapons of our warfare are mighty, and, are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And then it says, take every thought captive and bring him under obedience of Christ. So great, excellent. All right, last one. We spoke about dealing with demons, our authority in the demonic. Three scriptures, please. Somebody. Yes, sir, at the back. Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Great. I would like the big one found in Luke. Who can give me that one? Exactly. Very good. Thank you so much for doing your homework. If you didn't, unless you were dying, I don't understand your problem. I'm really serious because listen to me. The problem we have in our growth is the biggest problem we have in our growth is us. And if we let ourselves control us, if we let ourselves determine whether we will or won't do something, if we excuse it by saying, well, we're just too busy. And please, you might have a very legitimate answer. And if you do, God bless you. I understand. I put you under pressure and all the rest. I do. But I'm saying to you, if honestly you could have done it, you didn't do it. If the worst thing is if you forgot. That says about you that you possibly have a lifestyle where you choose what you feel is important. You don't make yourself do what's important. So probably having devotions is not on the top of your priority list as well. Do I sound hard? It's really important that we get the truth because it's the truth that sets us free. And one of the things we are not used to in church is somebody walking up to us and saying, you've got a problem. In Father's house, get used to it. Because I will tell you straight what the problem is. And it will seem hard at first and it'll seem like I'm a little callous. And who the hang is this guy from Thailand who comes in here and tells us what he thinks about our life? Well, I'm Glenn Harbison's guest. Actually, I know that true love adds discipline. True love adds discipline. If there is no discipline, you don't actually deeply love people. Because if I know that what you're doing is going to hurt you in your spiritual walk, and I do nothing about dealing with that, then I have the authority to deal with that, then I am not a good leader. Actually, I'm not even a loving leader. Smile at me, I need it at the moment. No, I don't really. Just want you to know that it's really important to face yourself. And I was sloppy, badly organized, ill-disciplined, the whole scene when I started out as a young Christian. And I'm telling you, it took somebody to look at me in the face and say, you have no self-control that I can see. And I was angry for about a week. And then I realized that actually that was the absolute truth. I always did what I wanted to do and what pleased me. And that's why I couldn't grow at the rate I should. In fact, that's why I backslid. When I came to Christ, I backslid because I was a slob. And thank God somebody told me I was. I actually didn't call you a slob, so that was kind, all right? So I told you, for those of you who are new, we will have more homework tonight. Your homework tonight for tomorrow night. And if you don't do it again, I honestly wonder why you are in this course. Now, please listen to me. If you don't do the homework again, I don't know why you're in the course. Because you obviously don't want to learn. So if you want to learn and you want to grow, then you have to do what you're asked. Remember I said, if you join this course, I expect you to work with me 100%. 8%. It's only three nights. It's nothing. Somebody give me an amen. Oh, I understand. It's especially if you feel like I'm coming on too strong, like, you know. Let me teach you another thing. My method of dealing with people is really well thought out. Because I'll tell you what it does, is it gets the people who don't want to grow off my course as fast as possible. And that is a joy to me. And it gets the people who do want to grow to take a serious look at their life and to say, what is wrong with me? Okay? Good. Now we cleared that up, I feel better. Let me say this. Our next night's homework is simply this. I would like you to tell me what is keeping you from growing in your Christian life. What habit or sin? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Speak about pressing through to the goal. And it says, laying aside every limitation and the sin that so easily entangles us. I would like to find out what limits you from growing. What is the thing, the one thing, maybe two things, maybe three. What are the things that are stopping you from growing? Right now, if you had to be honest and face the Lord, what is it that He is unhappy about in your life? Actually, could even stop you from serving Him in the years ahead. You're sliding. Do you understand the word backsliding? Some of us might be actually backslidden. And one of the kindest things I do for you is now make you face it. So I'd like to know what is keeping you from growing. What is the problem? Okay, when you've identified it, I want you to ask a second question. Please, you must write these down because you won't remember this. The first question is what? What? The second question is this. How long have you had this problem? And some of you can feel what the third question is going to be. No, not what are you going to do about it? Not at all. The third question is, why is it still there? And you know what the fourth question is. What are you going to do about it? If you feel that was hard, let me just tell you that's the way I treat myself. That's exactly the way I treat myself. I look at myself in the mirror, I say, how long has this problem been here? Why is it here? Why haven't I done something about it? And what am I going to do? When? So I set a date and I fix it. If I need counseling, I get counseling. If I've got to stop doing something, I'll stop doing it. I might slip, I might battle, but the program does not stop until I'm free of it. Hey guys, we're in a war. This isn't about building a community club. This isn't about building a bunch of nice friends who gather for, you call them barbecues. This is a preparation for warfare. And I'm telling you, towards the end times, we do not need to have soft people trying to lead the body of Christ. We need strong people. Quit yourself like men, ladies and men. Endure hardship like a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get tough on yourself. the party's over. It's time to grow up. Some of us live in Noddy land. And no, you don't know Noddy. Never, never land. We live in this sort of mystic place where we can come and go as we want, do what we like, and we've forgotten this, that we are not ours. We were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I have no choices. I have to do what I've got to do. When he gives me a command, it's not an invitation. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Do what I tell you. Love your neighbor. I hate my neighbor. Love your neighbor. That's it. I don't feel like it. Do it. You see, that's the problem in our Christian life. Obedience is a key of Christianity. And if we choose when we obey what we obey, we will always be weak and easily overcome. Obedience is the key to strength. Obedience is the key to victory. All right. Somebody quickly tell me the four things I've asked you to, four questions I've asked you to cover by tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. They are? Thank you, sir. When? Thank you so much. You've got it. Thank you. All right. What we did last night is we realized that it's really important to develop certain skills. We call them functional skills, which help us to serve the body of Christ better. We've got two places that we're supposed to minister. By the way, if you're brand new here tonight, I haven't got a chance to catch up on everything, but I just want to tell you I've structured this in three ways. I will be teaching you something, and then I'll be getting you to do things, and then we'll be doing ministry to you. We're training you, equipping you to do certain things. So we will be using the rabbinic method of training, which simply means I give you information, then I show you a demonstration, then we give you an impartation, and then finally there's an activation. If it's too fast for you to write down, the tape is available. You can get it and go through it, prepare yourself to hear what we were talking about. But tonight, I really feel I'd like to start the evening by doing something very practical. I'd like you... And we've got to move quickly, please. I'd like you to choose in your group two people. So three people need to be working together. So it'll be you three folk, okay? You'll be working together. And this is what you do. There are one another's in the Bible. We spoke about them last night. I've gone through many of them. There's encourage one another, exhort one another, comfort one another, the whole thing. Tonight, we're going to pray for one another. And I want to teach you quickly just how to pray for somebody. I want to pray in two ways. I want to do supplication, and I want to do what would really be warfare prayer, okay? So supplication, I want you to pray for somebody in the three, the three of you. So choose a person. So for instance, let's say tonight we would have Brian say, my need. If you're praying for anything, I'd like you to pray for this one thing. Then Debbie and Terry would start to pray. Father, we bring Brian before you tonight. We want to thank you that you love him. Don't get lost in his whole history and background about what a wonderful man he is. Ask God with faith to actually deal with the area he's asking prayer for. Call in what he needs by faith. Believe together, agree together in your prayers. Treat it as though he's going to get it because you are asking God. You understand? So there needs to be real faith involved in this. This is not a useless exercise. This is what we should do. Whenever we meet together as the body, if somebody says, you ask them, how are you doing? The person says, you know, I've just got bad news last week. And what is that? Well, I just heard that my mother's got cancer, and well, just give me your hands. Do you understand? We should have a lifestyle that says the moment something comes up, we are praying. And we know how to pray in faith. We know how to come against what is causing the problem, and we need to know how to pull in what they should receive. Make sense to you? Okay, this is how you're going to work tonight. And so the second thing I want you to do is I would like you to choose a region. Tonight I would like to choose Greenwich, if you don't mind. And specifically, we want to choose a place in Greenwich. I would like to choose an outstanding church called Harvestine Church. I'm teaching you something. I'm teaching you how to choose an area. I'm teaching you how to intercede for a region. I'm teaching you that you need to intercede for countries. And you don't just pray for yourself. This is not what it's about. You've got to look beyond yourself. And so tonight, I personally want you to pray for the youth of this church. They are meeting in that dome right now. I want you to intercede for them. I want you to ask God. And I want you to pray in a way that is maybe unusual to many of you. I want you to all three pray at once. Do you understand? It's like storming prayer. I want you to storm God for these guys. Come boldly into the throne of grace. Start to call out for their souls. Call them into leadership in the future. Call them into influence. If you know names, names start to drop into your mind. Pictures of faces. God gives you a heart for somebody. Pray it. In other words, be led by the Spirit on both the issues. Your prayer for the person and your prayer for the youth. But your prayer for the youth is different. All three are praying at once. You'll pray for each other one at a time. In other words, two people will pray for Brian. Then Brian and Terry will pray for Debbie. Then Debbie and Brian will pray for Terry. You understand? Fairly simple. Let's go. Choose three, please. If you're lost, please don't just flop around. Make it four. It's not a problem. Guys, we need to move quickly. We have got exactly 7 minutes. By 7:15, I'd like to be ready. Don't have a discussion. Ask the question. Get going. That's right, guys. Well done. Thank you. Don't talk. Just get on with it. No discussion. You've got 4 minutes left. Guys, the prayers need to be quick. We've only got a few more minutes. All right, you got one more minute, guys. Name of Jesus. Oh, Karamandia Sarabaku Serende. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just bless the Lord. Give him a shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. Bless him, God. Bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Please find your seats. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. As people train for key positions in the body of Christ, we should know how to at any time move into action. We should be able to pray without even considering what I look like, what it looks like. We should pray in a way that is based on the Word. I really want to encourage you. I didn't push this tonight, but as you prayed, I want you to ask yourself, how much of your prayer was based on the Word? It's great knowing the need and praying for the person and just asking God to intervene. But actually, our prayers need to come out of the promises of God. And so we need to know that God's Word gives an answer to every situation. We need to know the nature of God. We need to call on God's faithfulness. We need to understand certain terms as Christians, especially mature Christians. We should understand the difference between grace and mercy. If your cell phone's on, please won't you switch it off. Grace and mercy. What is the difference between grace and mercy? Anybody who's been taught by me, don't answer this question. Yes, ma'am. Yes. That's almost right. Very good. Actually, this is the simple way of saying it. Grace is God moving towards us. No, this is not the simple way of saying it. I'm just explaining something, okay? I apologize. I misled you. Mercy is the kindness of God. It's the resources of God being poured to us who really don't deserve them. Mercy is us not being dealt with in the way we deserve. So when we pray for grace or mercy, grace is this. This is the simple way of saying it. Grace is me getting what I don't deserve. Mercy is me not getting what I do deserve. Okay. So when we pray, we need to understand the difference in these different terms and so on, and pray accordingly. We need to know the heart of God and the nature of God. I want to thank you so much for the way you worked just now. I really appreciate it. I have one criticism. The criticism is, I said to you to break into groups of? May I tell you, the majority of the groups were three, but there were almost half that were four. I said you can do four if you can't find a place to sit. In other words, if you're wobbling around, the reason I did that was simply this, so that when you pray, you would pray quicker. You know, if you're praying for four people, it prays longer. It was a simple thing. I don't make an issue of it. I just want you to understand that when I say something, it's really to help you move quicker, because we've got limited time. Okay, now, I want to ask, how many of you have learned to have a devotion, have been trained in the art, the tool that God has given us of meeting with Him to draw from His Word? How many of you have been trained to have a devotion? Shoot your hand up, I need to see. Okay, majority haven't. That's exactly how I thought it would be. May I say, that's normal. Throughout the body, most of us have never been taught. I was never taught how to have a devotion. And so what I want to do for you tonight is I want to show you how to draw from God's Word. I want to show you how to wake up in the morning, have a meaningful time in the presence of God, so that by the time you walk out of your moment with the Lord, you have got information, you've got life, you've got God having spoken to you, something for the day, something for your situation, something that you can deal with in a biblical way. Okay, and so I want to give you some very simple principles, and then if time will allow us, we were going to do a quick devotional thing on one verse. Okay, the very first thing I want to tell you on a devotion is, please, you're going to have to write as fast as you can, because I'm going to speak fast. The first thing you've got to do, so put one, and then don't write every word. Write little abbreviations, okay? Shorthand, as short as possible. Number one, make sure that you choose an environment that is conducive to you having a devotion. One of the greatest mistakes we make in having a devotion is we choose a place that is really where the hubbub of the family is, or there's too much noise, or there's too much distraction. In front of a TV is not a good thing. Having it in the kitchen when everybody's getting up in the morning is not a good thing. In other words, choose a place. If you've got a small place, sanctify an area. Please listen to me, what sanctify means. Set it aside before God, that little area is the place. When you sit there at certain time in the day, that is set aside for you and the Lord. Make sure you get rid of all distractions. Point number two, get rid of all distractions. I mean externally and internally. You and I find, I don't know about you, I wake up in the morning and my mind races to what I have to do. I'm a practical human being, and I think I've got to do this today, that today, that today, that today. I go through it. I get rid of that, and if I have to, I put it on a list form. The other morning I got up, there was a pile of things I had to remember, and I knew if I didn't write them down, I'd forget them. So I wrote them down. That was the beginning. That was me emptying myself. Get rid of, I think point number three needs to be specified. Make sure that you get rid of all relational problems. Offer forgiveness. Deal with anger. Cast your cares upon Him. Okay? So make sure that by the time you sit down and you're ready to have a devotion, you are ready. Have a notepad. Next point. Have a notepad. keep the points up yourself. I can't remember them all, okay? Have a notepad, a pen, and a Bible. By the way, just quickly, I would choose a Bible that is really easy to read and one that, for me, I need to check cross references and all that. That's what I get a kick out of. So that's just my nature. But for you, it just might be the Message, and it's easy to read. Get something that's really easy to read, and if you've got eye problems, make sure that you've got a glasses or at least a big print Bible, okay? Eye problem simply means you're possibly over 40 or 50 years old, and it gets difficult to see what's going on. Okay. Then when you sit down, here is the practical part. Make sure that as you sit down before the Lord, you enter His gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Start, that's Psalm 100. Verse 1 following, make sure you enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise. Start off by just going through how good God has been. Start, praise means to boast about God. It means to lift Him up, to speak of His awesomeness, His majesty. It doesn't always have to be a song. It can just be speech. Okay? I want to say some people do well with music in the background. Personally, I don't. It's distracting to me. I need quiet. I then would invite the Lord by His Spirit to teach you. That's your next point. Invite Him to teach you. You've got to be serious about this. This isn't you just going through the routine. This is you coming before the Lord to learn something for the day. I think the key to Jesus' life was he got up a great while before dawn and he went into the mountains to pray. He had a place where he was separated and he was amongst nature. And nature and him at the beginning of the day was where he communed with the Lord, and that literally set him up for every day. I really think that's important. Okay. Next, I want to say that notebook now, you need to do a few things in that notebook. Set that notebook aside as your devotional. Buy one. Buy something that's just simple and ordinary, but on the top, every day, these are the things to put there, all right? First of all, put on the top left-hand side the date. I'll tell you why the date just now. It's really important. On the right-hand side, put the chapter. The book and chapter, sorry, the book and chapter. And then on the left-hand side, under the date, the first heading is general. Write the word general. Come down a little, give it a bit of space, and write the next word specific. S-P-E-C-I-F-I-C. Specific. Come down a little, and now I want you to write very simply four questions. This is now under the heading. Your first heading is? Your second heading is? Your third heading is personal. And you write four questions under personal. These are the four questions. Is there a promise to keep? Next, is there a principle to apply? I hope you're writing this because you're going to do it in a few minutes. Is there a command to obey? And is there a sin to avoid? Or an action to adopt? Negative or positive, depends how you approach it. A sin to avoid, an action to adopt. Would you like me to go over anything? The last one, sin to avoid, action to adopt. It's. Let me go through them. Personal is a promise to keep, a principle to apply, a command to obey, a sin to avoid, an action to adopt. All right. This is why you write down the date. It's really important to write down the date because it shows you when last you had a devotion. It's a self-motivator. What's more, you write down, it's 8:30. If you have to go to fetch kids, you're welcome, please. 8:30. Is that how you say it? 8:30. So I say it wrong. All right. I'll learn. The reason why you write down your chapter is because you know where you left off and you need to systematically keep going from chapter to chapter. Please hear this. My advice, I don't believe it's what God demands. I believe my advice is simple. When you start on a book, finish it. It doesn't matter where you go in the Bible, but when you start on a book, finish it. So that you keep the whole story in context. Really important. So let's say, for instance, we do a quick verse out of John chapter 1, verse 1. No, I like something else. 2 Peter chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you for the laugh. I love it when people laugh at my weak jokes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. I want you just to read verse 1 and verse 2. That's all. Listen to me. Here is what it says. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What I would like you to do, this, imagine that that's a whole chapter. We are doing the book of 2 Peter. Sorry, I lost you. Somebody call out? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, it would be our first chapter. If we have all agreed to study 2 Peter together, our first day, our devotion would be 2 Peter chapter 1. This is what you do. You read, you need to write this down because it'll help you understand. You need to read through your chapter once and then ask the first question. What is the general meaning of this chapter? Do you understand me? Read through your chapter once and ask what is the general meaning of the chapter. What is this chapter speaking about generally? Why you ask questions is simply this. Our minds are made in a certain way. If we do not have to answer questions, we do not take things seriously. So when you put a demand on your brain, you find your brain, your whole being responds to the fact that it needs to give an answer. So that when you're reading, you can't get distracted because you know when you finish reading this chapter, you have to write what you feel. So it's a tremendous tool to draw things out and keep you focused. So you read through it and you say, what is the general meaning of 2 Peter chapter 1? Read through it the second time. And ask, of course, what is the specific portion that stands out to you? What is the specific portion that stands out to you? By the way, it takes about 3 minutes to read a chapter. So in 10 minutes, you've read the chapter three times. That's if it's not Psalm 119. So, read through the chapter once, ask the first question, what is the general meaning? Read through it a second time, ask what specifically stands out to you, and write that down. Okay, this has given you some material to work with. We're coming back to that just now. Read it a third time with a fine tooth comb now. You are looking for four things. What are you looking for? I need a hand up, please. Somebody just put up a hand. Yes, sir. That's it. That's it. You're looking for those four things. So as you're going through, isn't this beautiful? Because now it's drawing information out which says to you, this is what God wants from you. This is a principle to adopt or promise to keep or whatever it is. Okay? So from that perspective, once you've done that a third time, you have now got an understanding of that chapter. You've got a specific piece that stood out to you. And you've got four simple answers to questions you've posed. Now, this is important. Once you are there, the whole issue about Scripture is that it's got to get off the page into your life. Do you understand? So it's really important that the Word should become flesh. The way to do that, and I really need your attention now, you need to say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to make this a lifestyle. And so you will find either the second question, the specific meaning of your chapter, or one of the four answers you had to give really struck you in your heart. Do you understand me? There is a sense that God is talking to you out of one of these things. When the key to knowing what you're dealing with is the sense of the Holy Spirit convicting you or encouraging you, or something stands out more than anything else. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you pick that one up, you have now got to take that and meditate on it. Now, meditation, so your next point after you've read now is a heading called meditation. So meditation is the next heading under personal. And so your meditations now take you to a place where you start to see yourself in the area. Let's say you've read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Which says, do not lie to one another, but tell the truth. That stands out to you as a command to obey. Or a sin to avoid. It's the same thing. It stands out. So right there, you take that and you go back to the time where you last lied. You replay the lie. The moment you lied, replay it in your brain. See yourself in front of your boss, your partner, whatever it is, your parents, lying. Right there, you confess it and say, Lord, that's a problem in my life. I need to change it, and I'm asking for your help. And then see yourself, role play it in your brain. This is meditation. See yourself taking the word and living it out, putting off this desire to lie and replacing it with a commitment to tell the truth. So you see yourself walking up to your boss. Now you replay it. You remember you replayed it. You saw where you failed. You replay it again. Now you see yourself walk up and tempted to say, I want to lie to you, but you choose to tell the truth and you tell the boss. So in your mind, you replay it and replay it while you're praying. You're asking the Holy Spirit to build this into you. You understand? You'll come to the place where you'll find now the moment you are tempted to lie, what you've meditated upon is going to come back up. And you're going to live your meditation, not your inclination to sin. Do you understand me? And so your life adjusts. Every day something is adjusting. And you're starting to grow and you're starting to put flesh in the spirit, as it were, on who you're supposed to be. You're starting to look like Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? That way, you finish your devotion. with whatever your choice is in the realm of prayer. You finish your devotion with prayer time. You can finish your devotion with praise. You can do what you like. I mean, that's your choice. But I want you to know how to draw from the Word. That's my object tonight. I want you to have a successful devotion. I don't want you ever to be able to say that I did not know how to draw from the Word of God for my life. And so tonight, very quickly, we're going to just do it for 5 minutes. Is that okay? I'd like you to, for 5 minutes, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And I want you to read it, ask what it specifically, don't forget the general, it's too short. Ask specifically what stands out to you. And then do the third one, the personal, and then just for a second, start to ask the Lord to change you in an area, to help you in something. I'll give you an example. This stood out to me a number of months ago because it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle. He didn't call himself an apostle and bondservant. He called himself a bondservant. That freaked me out. Because his first designation as a human being toward God and towards the body was not his position of being this massive man. He designated himself as being bound to Christ as a servant. His heart was to serve the body. I tell you, I chewed on that for weeks because I realized the real thing about being a great leader is to be a great servant. Is to serve the body with all you've got. Give them your very best. Never dish them up anything but the very, very best. Amen. You've got 5 minutes. May the Lord really help you. Remember, what do you do before you have a devotion? What do you do? Pray. Take chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Enjoy it. Word, but that'll be in a second. I would like 3 people to just give me what the Lord showed them. Thank you, brother. Okay. Need to stand up so they can hear, please.
With us by the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, and what the Lord showed me was that I have attained, received, been granted, given faith, which is considered by God as precious, of great value, that we, he says to those, have this in common, are joined together in him by his righteousness. There's a common bond that we share that is given by God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's because of and due to his righteousness, and not because of whatever I didn't bring anything to the table.
That is excellent. That is beautiful. Have you ever seen it like that before? Good. Next, please. Yes, ma'am. Whatever you got, I just want to hear what you got. Right. That is very good. Thank you, ma'am. You want to share yours? Yes, ma'am. Very good. That's exactly what I want. Now, it's a very interesting fact that the ability to draw from Scripture or receive is really the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you and I can be prayed for tonight, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they would receive from verse 15. You can read it for yourself, Ephesians chapter 1, that they would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so tonight I want to pray for you that you will receive that spirit falling on you. I wonder if you'd put your hand on somebody else's shoulder right now. If it's a partner, you can hold their hands. But won't you just right now, just reach out to each other. And we're going to pray a prayer of faith. And I'm going to ask God to increase your capacity to receive revelation. Okay? Do you agree with me that if I pray that prayer, God will hear that? And are you willing to receive it? Okay, when I say in Jesus' name, it's going to land on you. And it's yours from tonight. Is that okay? And you who struggled to get anything last time, in the name of Jesus, I pray now for an outpouring upon every single man and woman in this room, Lord, every child. I pray now especially on leaders that are going to influence the world in the future. Father, in the name of Jesus, pour out upon each one of them an increased capacity in their ability to receive revelation. I pray, Lord, that they would read your word. It would come alive the moment they apply themselves to it. That, Lord, it would just start speaking to them in volumes. Lord, that they would see themselves in those places where the Bible's talking about. They'll see themselves in Ephesus. They'll see themselves on the street with Jesus. They would see the reality of the word. And Lord, it would become life to them and revelation. I pray for a spirit of revelation to fall now on everyone in Jesus' name. Receive it into your being now. Amen. Amen. That's done. Bless you. Thank you so much for working on that. That is great. You okay? Anybody got a question about how to have a devotion? All right. Don't get up and go. I'm not sending you home. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do I have any thoughts on reading the whole Bible in chunks as opposed to just focusing on what I said is a chapter? The Bible tells us to do a number of things. It tells us, number one, to read the Bible. I believe we should read the Bible in chunks. I believe we should just read portions, read a book at a time. Second thing the Bible is very clear about is that we should study it. To study the Bible, I believe you've only got a couple of choices. You study topically a topic. You study a character. After that, you know, you can study, for instance, a book and the way it's structured. These are the choices. So study makes us focus on one area. And then thirdly, I believe we should go to the Bible as a devotional tool to form us and to make us like Jesus. And I believe that we can only seriously draw from a small portion at a time. Big chunks lose us. We all understand that. And so you find your own style. I must rush to add this. Does that answer your question? I must rush to add this. Please listen to me. This is not the method. This is a method. Okay? And so all I want to do is help you, because there is no point in you guys even starting on the road to trying to be influencers in the kingdom, trained to do great works, if you don't know how to draw from the Bible. We're wasting our time. And if we do not discipline ourselves to a daily life of honestly drawing from the Word, we're going to find ourselves at a loss in the years ahead. The word changes us, and we have to make it our priority. Amen? All right. I want to teach you something, and then we're going to minister to you. I want to teach you from the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, please. If you've got your Bibles, maybe you'd like to turn there. Ma'am. I suggest a chapter at a time. A chapter at a time, yeah. If that's too much for you, there's nothing wrong with taking... You know, these days Bibles are divided into sections, contextual sections. Take a context and just, you know, do that. No problem. As long as you keep going. All right. I also felt the Lord speak to me just now. How many of you find yourself in church struggling to keep paying attention? It's like you get tired easily, you know, and if all this stuff affects you. But raise your hands. I don't want to nail you. I want to help you. You struggle. You struggle. Listen to me. I want to ask God to help you tonight. There is such a thing as praying for the increase of capacity. Now, you saw who raised their hand around you. Just raise it again, guys, because people need to see you. Look behind you. There's some people behind you. Please, somebody choose somebody and go and put your hand on them. We're going to pray for them now and release a touch from the Lord. Thank you, Jim. You see, guys, listen, we never leave things undone in the body. When something is not working, we must fix it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring my brothers and sisters before you that battle in this specific area of just having capacity in the ability to receive the word. First of all, I rip off of their beings any form of curse that has come against them. That, Lord, that curse that was spoken over them that said, you will never be able to, you're too slow, you're too dense, whatever the words were, in Jesus' name, I cancel those words and I declare the word of God over them, Lord, that your word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 following, that we have been enriched in all ways, in all knowledge, in all utterance. And Father, I pray right now that their ability to receive knowledge, their ability to receive information would be increased. Breathe in as I'm talking. Receive increase in Jesus' name. Receive an increase in your spirit. Receive an increase in your natural man, that your mind might be expanded. I speak against the effects of drugs. In the name of Jesus, if you've had a past history of drugs, I want to pray over you that God will touch your body in the name of Jesus, that there will be healing over your brains, that what was broken and destroyed will be restored and made whole in Jesus' name. I pray over you that if you've just got a bad lifestyle, I pray that you will put it in order in Jesus' name. And now I declare over each one of you that you're going to become excellent in the ability to receive from the Lord at all levels. In Jesus' name, would you agree with me?